Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It is Naturally Green at SaverLife.com, and it is officially spring. 5:37, I think, this morning. It became spring just a few hours ago, and it was 26 degrees at the time. I wasn't awake, but that was the forecast for when spring would arrive. But now, after a cold day yesterday, last couple nights been cold, we have warmer weather today. It's going to be beautiful. And the sunshine that's predicted for the next 4 or 5 days is going to be ideal to go see the winter aconite over at the George Eastman Museum. I've mentioned them the last couple of weeks. They are in full bloom when the sun is out. So I was over there toward sort of late afternoon a couple days ago when it was nice and sunny out. But even though the beech tree that they're under doesn't have leaves on it, it still shades them a little bit. And so it was a pretty chilly day. And many of them were closed, even though it was tons of sunshine. But the sort of the left side where the sun came in kind of under the tree as it was getting a little bit lower in the sky, those were more open. So they respond pretty quickly to the sun, both opening and closing. And you have a couple of days. You just drive in the entrance to the George Eastman Museum off East Avenue, you'll see them, this carpet of yellow to your right. And there also is a smaller carpet of yellow in the back side of the University Avenue entrance. So that's just got a beautiful rock garden and pretty place to drive through. So this is the season for winter aconite. I saw some buds opening on Cornus moss, which is the yellow dogwood or cornelian cherry. This is a small tree, not a particularly beautiful form usually, but it is the first tree to bloom in the spring each year. And it blooms yellow without huge flowers, sort of little clusters of little tiny flowers. And a lot of people think it's forsythia, but there are a few. There's a couple of them in the corner of Culver and East Avenue in the kind of a open lot, sort of park almost like area at that corner, and also along Mount Hope Avenue along the cemetery right near, fairly close to Elmwood. And they're scattered around. It's a tree, you know, if you want to have the first tree in bloom, you should have some, at least one of these yellow dogwoods. The fruit they give looks like an elongated cherry, hence the cornelian cherry name, although it's a dogwood. And it's jam made with it, but they got to get ripe enough, and I've only found them once on a tree ripe enough where they were really delicious to eat. I think the animals get them first, usually. So Cornus moss is just beginning to open, and then one of the next trees after that will be the shad or serviceberry, and that's probably a couple of weeks away. Don't think we'll see that until mid-April, I would guess. But I'll let you know if a friend of mine has one in their backyard, and keep tabs on it. I should have one in my yard. I think maybe I will plant one, at least a seedling of one this year, because it's one of my favorite trees. If you want to add a small tree to your yard, and by small tree I mean, you know, crabapple size, maybe 20 feet tall. I don't mean a little dwarf, you know, 6 foot tall tree. They do get 20 or 25 feet tall, but they are tremendous native trees with a berry that's edible and great fall color, and really one of the first trees to bloom. Cornus moss is first, usually. The shad serviceberry a close second. So, you know, somehow a winter aconite in bloom and snowdrops and crocuses, you know spring is coming, but when things like the yellow dogwood start to bloom, witch hazel's been blooming, the shad starts to bloom, then we know we're really into spring. Not late winter, but into spring. So excited to have this warm weather over the next few days. And I've been doing shows on gardening for nearly 30 years. I started in 1994, and I've been doing probably hundreds of teaching programs, classes, and probably closer to 1,000 of those over these years, and probably 100 or more on pruning in particular. And I've been promoting, telling people about Felco pruning shears and saws for pretty much that entire period. They've just been great to use, and I don't have them as a sponsor. They don't provide me with any free gear, not even a free t-shirt or hat. But they just have really great pruning shears and things. And I did a program on pruning this past week for a garden club over Zoom. And about a week ago, I did one on monarch butterflies also. And actually the program I did on pruning was for the Skinny Atlas Garden Club. And one of their members mentioned during this Zoom presentation that Felco has an outlet in the Finger Lakes, and actually just off 5 and 20. And I frankly didn't believe them. Because I figured I would know about it if there was a Felco outlet. But this is one of the reasons I love doing presentations to garden clubs and classes, because I invariably learn something. And this Felco outlet, I went there just yesterday. Actually got a couple replacement blades for my saws, and they're going to repair and clean up one pair of shears that I have, and I'm still kind of astounded that I didn't know about this. But it's not a retail store, and it's not really an outlet, I guess, per se. When you go in, there's a desk and some dog toys. Clearly there's one or several dogs who hang out with their owners there. I didn't see the dogs when I was there, but certainly definitely some dogs that helped them out in the store. They had a couple offices, really nicely laid out. They had one wall around the corner that had kind of a display of the different Felco shears and saws and a bunch of them that I'd never seen before. But again, it's not advertised as a store. If you want to get something repaired, you can leave it. They don't repair it while you're there. And they'll call you when it's ready to come back and pick it up. But I'd also lost a couple of the screws that hold the saws into the folding saw handle, and they had those. It turns out, it was fascinating. I'm looking forward to interviewing them. Turns out that they actually, this little store warehouse, really, in Stanley, New York, which is between Canandaigua and Geneva, just off of 5 and 20, that every Felco shear saw, every Felco product that comes into the United States goes through them. They are the warehouse that handles distribution. And again, so if someone in California orders Felco shears, they come through this warehouse in the Finger Lakes. And they've been there for decades. That's what really got me. This is not a new operation. They've been there pretty much since, well before I started my gardening show. And but again, it's really a distribution warehouse. But the Skinny Atlas Garden Club has been going there, and probably not every year, but occasionally the Garden Club goes for a visit, tour, a little presentation about Falco, and pick up some new shears or get some repaired or parts. They do have parts and blades for a number of the pruning shears. So, again, thanks to the Skinny Atlas Garden Club for alerting me to this Falco outlet. And when you think of outlet, you think of, you know, like Waterloo Outlet Mall, where they're, you know, the outlet stores are regular retail stores selling things at, you know, the below retail price usually, for whatever reason. And I don't think this Falco outlet sells things for below retail price. They probably can't, because they're distributing to stores around the United States, and, you know, those stores don't want this outlet, you know, selling them below retail price. So I didn't check prices, but I'm guessing you don't go there to get a deal. But they do have all the Falco items, many of which I had not seen before. You know, specialty items, things used in the orchard and grape industries, and it was fun to visit. Very nice people, and the the Falco shears and saws and things are tremendous quality, but they're so sharp that, as I said before, you've got to wear a good pair of work gloves if you're going to be using some of their folding saws or shears. They're just incredibly sharp, and you got to be careful, you know. But they cut so well; it is amazing to cut with them. So again, Falco products are available there. If you want details, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. It's called the warehouse is called Amberg, and I was asking about the history of it, and it turns out that there were two brothers that came to the United States from Germany, Austria, perhaps, and I had heard of Amberg Wine Cellars, which was in that area, actually, just off 5 and 20 between Canandaigua and Geneva. It was a winery. Quite a few years ago, Boscombe Farms is in the building that Amberg Winery was located in. That was probably 20-plus years ago. And Amberg also sold nursery stock for, I thought mainly grapes, but it looks like maybe apples as well. And so they provided grapevines to wineries, not so much to the public, but wholesale to wineries, again, you know, 30 years ago and back. And so so one of the brothers was interested in grapes and winemaking and the grape nursery. And the other brother, who similarly inclined to horticulture, was interested in orchards and had orchards and I think also sold small trees, grafted trees, for a long time, and so that's so the it was the brother that did the apple orchards who started this Falco distribution business, and that's really what they're focusing on now, and I don't think they have any more orchards or tree. They're not really seedlings, but, you know, small grafted trees that they used to sell wholesale. And So it was fascinating to learn a little about the history of it. Foco has been around for the brand and out of Switzerland for a long, long time. Goes way back. In the near future, we'll do an interview with them about their business here in the Finger Lakes, but also Falco in general. So again, a couple of reasons I love going to garden clubs, always interesting people, and I learn something, but also they often bring some really good baked goods, which is the disadvantage of doing these things over Zoom. I didn't have any baked goods to enjoy afterward, but I did stop at a couple bakeries. We'll talk about that in the next hour on the food show. Several bakeries on my way to, I was headed to visit a couple of wineries in the Finger Lakes and stopped at Amberg to get these replacement blades. It's time to do some pruning on my apple trees, and these new blades are going to really, it's going to make it a lot more fun to do this pruning. If you have comments, questions on your garden, wondering what to do, when to do it, if to do it, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. I've been putting kitchen scraps and things into our garden, or it was before the ground froze again, briefly, and covering them up. Instead of having a compost pile somewhere in the yard, I bury the kitchen scraps in the vegetable garden and have, 4 to 5 inches of soil on top of them, and they break down very quickly. And I'm going to be planting probably this weekend some peas and radishes and spinach, kale. I'm going to put those seeds in out directly, sow them into the garden, and then I'll probably start some seeds indoors also. Those will come on faster, and I often use some of those for containers, and put some in the garden. Although it was last year I started one kind of kale. It was like a purple kale, really cool color, and I sowed the seeds in some window boxes, and for whatever reason I think I didn't keep it well watered enough, because I was worried about overwatering it. Most of those seedlings died, and didn't like one of that variety last year. So one of the reasons to do this several different ways is to hedge your bets, plant them directly in the ground. Depending on the weather, they may come up sooner than later. Maybe after this warm spell, it'll cool down, and that will keep them from growing. So I will start some in the window boxes I use, because I can take them in and out of the house pretty easily if there are really cold nights, which we will still have some really cold nights. April, we will have some freezes at night. Wouldn't be surprised if it gets down to 15 or 20 at night at some point in April. So they get itchy to think spring is officially here, but it doesn't mean we're not going to have some cool weather. So if you plant some of those cool weather crops outside, you can always protect them. But usually if you are sowing directly, you're not going to need to protect them. Mother Nature kind of tells them when to germinate, and they seem to be able to tolerate late freezes pretty well. The cool weather, cold weather crops like peas and radishes, kale, spinach, etc. If you start some seeds inside and those get rolling, and you want to plant them outside in April, those you may need to cover and protect, partly because of wind, but also some of those cold nights. And they are, when you start them indoors, they're used to warmer temperatures and really no wind at all, because our houses, the air is relatively stagnant. But when you put them outside, the wind on new seedlings can really desiccate them and knock them over, and you have to You have to harden them off, not just in terms of temperature, but in terms of wind and sun, and get them used to being outside. So fun to start some inside, you should. And now's the time to do it for many of these things. And the nurseries and farms and things have already got their things started a few weeks ago, many of them. But not too late to start. We're still probably a month away from planting outside, which is generally when you want to start seeds. Peppers, you're a little late. Tomatoes might be a little bit late. Those are the things we start earlier, but I would still put them in now. And again, you're kind of hedging your bets. Plants sow some things directly in the soil, and Fruition Seeds in Naples has been posting a lot of good information about what you can start, what you should hold off on starting, because there's some seeds that really don't like the cold weather, and they're going to do really poorly if they survive at all if you put them in too early. There are a number of seeds that want soil temperatures 50 degrees or more, that's hard to get in April. So Fruition Seeds, again, a great source of information on cool season plants, when to sow them, and of course they have some great seeds too. And they have a number of videos. They've been very active on social media. So if you want to do a little research on seed starting, they are a fantastic place to start. And some of the nurseries are reopening for the season. I saw a note, Bricolo Nursery on 441, they opened for the season. Again, it's not all of them are open. Some are open year-round. So, for example, Bristol's and Wayside, they're open year-round. And they'll be expanding their hours in the spring. But some of the ones that do close for the winter are just about to reopen or have, like Bricolo Nursery. And it's great to, a sign of spring that some of these places are reopening. And they will have some plants that are probably already in bloom. And they also carry seeds and things, but you have to be a little careful. Things that are already in bloom and may be coming out of greenhouses and may not be ready for March, April weather. So be careful with them. The pansies and violas, I would absolutely plant a bunch of those. Marginally too early to do it now. You might have to cover them, but it's close. I might put some in, actually. Sarah's Garden Center opening today. They're in Brockport, 389 East Avenue in Brockport. They were my original sponsor when I started my gardening show, 1994, and they're just great people. Stephen and Kathy Kepler, awesome staff there, some fantastic collection of plants, but again, this early in the season, they're not going to have anything really but the hardiest plants. They do carry some houseplants and tropical things at Sarah's, small selection of those and some succulents. I go out this time of the year to visit the nurseries, not so much to buy things as to just get excited for spring. That's, say hello to them and look at some of their gardens. The stonework in back of Sarah's is really pretty astounding, actually. So, again, spring has officially started, but even more important, some of the nurseries, what I call destination nurseries, like Sarah's and places like Palmiter's Garden Nursery, I believe that they're open. I didn't check their hours, but I saw a post about hellebores that they have, and so I think they're open, but I would check before you drive there. But these are destination nurseries places that you need to go this spring a few times, even if you live on the opposite side of town. It's worth the visit. And if you want some suggestions and other places to go when you visit them, happy to give you some other ideas. Not necessarily garden related, but other interesting stores or shops or restaurants that might be nearby. Grandpa's Nursery, another destination nursery, which is open. They are generally open year round as well. So those are some of my favorite destination nurseries, but I do try to get to most of the other nurseries just to check out what's happening. And so ranging from Genrich's in Irondequoit to Garden Factory and Van Putty, J&A Nursery, which is down on exit 9 off 390 on the way to Lakeville. That's very close to Palmiter's Garden Nursery. So lots of cool places to visit to get excited about spring. And again, the pansies and violas are surprisingly tough. They really are. And a lot depends on whether they've been hardened off at all at a nursery. At this point, I would guess they haven't been, because it really has been just too cold to have things outside. But if you find some for sale, and if I do, I'll probably buy a couple six packs of them to put in. And there's a risk that cold weather could knock them out, but I think it's unlikely. They are very tough. There's some winter pansies that will usually plant in the fall, which survive the winter. And they look wimpy. I mean, they don't look like they'd be tough enough to survive winter. But I've had a number of them survive winter in the past. So I'm a firm believer in how tough these pansies and violas are. And if you see some, I would put some in the ground. It's going to be hard to dig this morning because it was 24 degrees last night. But the sun's going to warm the ground quickly. And right now, we do not have any freezing temperatures at night in the forecast for Rochester. There are several nights of 34. Well, I take that back. A week from this Monday, the forecast is 30 at night, which is normal. But it's also a sign that maybe those violas and pansies can be hardened off. And by a week from this Monday, I would think they could take the 30 degrees pretty easily. And it's a pretty small risk if you have a couple of six packs of pansies and violas that you've put in the ground. So get excited about spring. Also, the Upstate Gardener's Journal new issue is out. So you can read that online, upstategardenersjournal.com. I'll look it up. And they have a nice system set up for reading it online, and some gorgeous photos. You can read about sustainable gardens and landscapes. There's a couple articles with some great photos, one on site assessment for busy people, and some cool plants in those photos. Also a note about their garden odyssey to the Odyssey to Ithaca, which they've done in the past. They didn't do it this past June because of the pandemic, but they have moved it till September for this year. And September 11th, they're going to do the Odyssey to Ithaca, which is a bus trip to visit a number of nurseries and garden centers in the Ithaca area, which there are some really good ones, and kind of a fun trip. So if you want to look forward to something this fall, it will sell out, probably as people are just itching to do things like this. By September should be a good time to do this kind of trip. And it is again, planned for fall this year. And also a note in the Upstate Gardeners Journal that their winter photo contest ends April 1st. So you still have a little bit of time to enter that winter photo contest with the Upstate Gardeners Journal. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with a food show, Discover the Finger Lakes, and then tomorrow, the grapevine. Have life.com.